Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Paskachade Satarani Shri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gobhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If we turn off these house lights, temple lights, what happens? Let's see. Is that a little better? Yeah, that's a little better. I can still see if you've fallen asleep or not. How are you, Krishna? How are you? Nityananda Prana asks that I give a little introduction. Who I am, and the simple summation, I am a fool and a rascal, except for the grace of my spiritual master. I met Srila Prabhupada in 1969 in Southern California. I took initiation in 1970. My name is Badri Narayan Swami. I am a member of ISKCON's international governing body, and I am the zonal secretary for our temples in Western California, Nevada, Arizona, call it like that. Okay. But I do know one nice thing, which actually put things in the proper status. I was on a walk with Srila Prabhupada. I was a young man. Let that be a lesson to you. I was a young man at one time. Don't waste your time. So I was on a walk with Srila Prabhupada, and I asked him, what does it mean to be one of your temple presidents? And I think we had a temple in Ann Arbor, Michigan, University of Michigan. I think we probably had about, at that point, about 8 devotees, and I was feeling very important. We had a big temple. So I asked Srila Prabhupada, what does it mean to be a temple president? I thought that he would say, you're empowered by Lord Chaitanya, you're one of my generals on the front line. No. Prabhupada stopped, put his cane down, sized me up, and said, it means if anything goes wrong, it's your fault. Which was a very good advice. That's what it actually. So I'm a member of ISKCON's governing body. If anything goes wrong, you can get my email from Nityananda Pran Prabhu and let me know. I think without further ado, we can start. Let's see if we can get all this technology moving at the same time. So this topic is harmonizing lines of authority, a strategic planning initiative. This is the logo for the strategic planning. It's a subset of the GBC and many, many volunteers, very talented devotees from around the world. This logo, one of the reasons it was selected, is you notice that Prabhupada is moving forward. And if you ever had the opportunity to either see or, what to speak of, go on a walk with Prabhupada, Prabhupada moved at a good clip. Prabhupada said that my disease is I cannot think small. So that's the Prabhupada's moving us all forward. And I think the rest will explain itself. These are the members of the committee. Very senior members of the GBC, and Raj Bihari is an extremely talented devotee. Many of you may know him. He's in charge of ISKCON Resolve, our mediation branch or service. Harmonizing lines of authority. What that means, don't worry. If nothing else, hopefully that will be explained. But it's a GBC position paper. It's gone through a whole series of reviews, and it's a statement from the GBC. This is what this means. This is our position on something. So, and I'll show this again at the end. If you want to get a copy, you know, download a copy, or you want to whatever, you can go to this Dandavat's website. They'll have a section there that has different GBC papers and GBC resolutions and whatever. And you can just look it up under this name, Harmonizing Lines of Authority. If somehow or other that doesn't work, you can email me and I'll send you a digital copy. I don't charge anything. Just your blessings that I'll become a humble and austere sannyasi. That charge I want. Okay, so a little history on the topic. I selected this picture for a reason. This is Prabhupada who had the darshan of Rupa Goswami, confirmed by several sources and by Srila Prabhupada in his own humble way. We come in a noble line. We're not some isolated pocket of Vaishnavas in some corner of the world. We represent a tradition that goes all the way, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adhikavaye, all the way to Lord Brahma, the first living being who is the preceptor of our sampradaya or our line. And more recently, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the six Goswamis. Prabhupada said that Rupa Goswami at this darshan told him, you just write these books, you go to the West, and we'll take care of everything, meaning himself and the other Goswamis. You write these books, you go to the West, and we'll take care of everything. So our success, just like in Bhagavad Gita, success is guaranteed. Krishna says to Arjuna, you can fight or not fight. No one's going home from this battle. I've organized it. I have my purpose to put Yudhisthira Maharaj, Dharmaraj on the throne, so many things, establish Vedic values and system. So you fight or don't fight. If you fight, you get the credit. In the same way, this movement is being pushed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis, all of our different acharyas, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we can participate or not. It'll go on with us or without us. If we participate, then it's to our eternal credit. So in Italy, 2006, the GBC began to plan for a secure institution. Any healthy, well-organized organization, institution, and we are an institution, we're individuals and we're also an institution, should spend at least 20% of its time. What are we going to be in the future? Strategic planning. If you don't have a vision of what you want to be, how are you ever going to get there? One of the definitions of insanity is to keep doing the same thing but expect a different result. If you do the same thing, what are you going to get? In all likelihood, unless you're struck by lightning, you're going to get the same result. So we began thinking, what are some of the issues? I mean, it is not easy. I was personally in the room, proprietorial world. That is not an easy proposal. So we are completely against the current of things, you know. It's not so agreements between them. What are those divergent lines? We have the line coming from the gurus. The disciple, anyway, we'll talk about that in a second. We also have ISKCON's management structure. And sometimes, I know this may come as a shock to you, but sometimes there's a disparity or there's different instructions, one coming from the, and we'll get into that in a minute. And it creates problems. We want to avoid repeating the history. The Gaudiya Math simply shattered into a whole set of independent units. At one time, the Gaudiya Math was so powerful, it was, where to start? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a steamship that was sailing from port to port, putting on giant festivals. He had a train that he would travel on, and they would stop at a city, and right on the platform, they'd set up a whole theistic exhibition. They'd cook prasadam, they'd have lectures, a question and answer booth, all kinds of displays. They'd put on their program for 2 or 3 hours. They'd pack everything up immediately and whistle stop to the next city. The governor of Bengal was invited. Calcutta was the capital of India, and India was the jewel in the crown of the British Empire. So the governor of Bengal, one of the most important men in the British government, was invited by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to come out to Mayapur for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the Gorpranim festival. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so influential that the man came. And because the road was so bad, the governor took British resources and the British army and improved the road all the way from Calcutta to Mayapur. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, actually, the man was useless, but I wanted the road. Just try to understand these saintly people, you know, intelligent people. But that's how powerful the Gaudiya Math was. But the whole thing shattered into pieces. And it shattered my disciples, my mission. How can the guru be, you know, who's absolute, you know, empowered by Krishna? How can the Diksha guru or Siksha gurus, how can they be under an institution which is mundane? And the whole thing split into separate camps and fell into pieces, fell into disarray. We want to avoid that. So here's the a example of the issue. Here's Bhakti John, and here's his Diksha Guru speaking to him. I want you to go on Sankirtan. It is the highest service. And yes, Gurudev, Jai Gurudev, which isn't the right attitude. Could be Siksha Guru. I said Diksha, but usually it's Diksha. So here's the temple president. He says, Bhakti John, I want you to wash pots today. We had a big festival yesterday. We need you to wash the pots. Otherwise, how will the deities get their offering? And tomorrow's the Sunday feast. We want to be take care of the guests. You got to wash pots today. But he says, but my Gurudev, he told me to go on Sankirtan to deliver the conditioned souls. The Guru, he says, your Gurudev rarely comes. He doesn't know the immediate situation. He doesn't know the needs of the place. You just listen to me. He goes back and checks with his guru. His guru says, your temple president doesn't understand. This is, you know, Prabhupada said, distribute books, the conditions. Prabhupada said, what evolution? You're still monkeys. So, you know, but the fact of the matter is, they're sitting in there. They're sitting in their houses, and in the core, in the innermost recesses of their heart, they're thinking, when will Lord Chaitanya's devotees come and save me? When will they come and when will I see the Sankirtan party coming down the street? When will they knock on the door and save me? So do we need to distribute books? No question about it. So he's getting, now, what? Yes, Gurudev. So he's bewildered. Does he follow his temple president who's guided him and trained him and helped him? Does he follow his Diksha Guru who's promised to take lifetime after life to read? What does he do? He's completely bewildered. Don't turn left, don't turn right. What to do? And it happens. It happens. Okay, so now you have a little bit an idea of the issue. A yatra may make a plan. They have a plan that we're going to start a Gurukula, or we're going to focus on book distribution, or we want to get our, you know, bhakti program training, or we're going to they make a plan. The temple presidents all get together. They talk with their local GBC. Okay, this is our goal for the next year or two. We're going to raise money, we're going to do this, whatever it may be. We're going to get a goshala on a farm project, so many things. And someone's, what is that sound? Someone pressing clothing? Is it? I offer my respects. No, not because, but garbage man? All right. Must be a lot of garbage. Prabhupada heard a garbage truck one time. Malati Mataji told me this. And Prabhupada said, what is that? They said, oh, it's a big truck. It picks up all the trash and puts it. Prabhupada said, oh, put the whole material world in it. So, and the guru, Diksha Guru of some of the disciples, arrives on the scene and says, oh, no, that's not the right thing to do. You know, I want you all to distribute books. And there's a whole dissension in the yatra. It works both ways. Well, you'll see examples of it. It's a persistent garbage truck. So the goal is to define the principles to be followed by. Here's who this applies to. See, find yourself on this list. It's everybody. Initiating or instructing spiritual masters, disciples of initiating or instructing spiritual masters, zonal GBC members, regional secretaries, temple presidents, and other ISKCON authorized managers. So how to lay out the lines? How does it all work together? Not that one eclipses or negates the other. How do we work? What was the title, Prabhus? Harmonizing. Not paralyzing, harmonizing. There's a difference. So what's the measure of our success? The aim is to prevent misunderstandings between spiritual masters, disciples, managers, and create a stronger ISKCON. Towards that goal, more devotees, happier devotees. So the GBC is the authority spiritually and managerial. I'm here. I don't get a commission for saying this. It's Prabhupada's system. I am training some. I mean to say advanced students so that they may very easily take up the charge. I have made them GBC, governing body commission. Management is also spiritual activity. It is Krishna's establishment. So this is Krishna's society. This is Krishna's movement, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's deities. How is managing? When Prabhupada left this world, this is a slide I should put in this, I forgot. Giriraj Maharaj says, a few days, maybe a week before Prabhupada left this world, I think only a few days, middle of the night, he calls for Giriraj Maharaj. Giriraj Maharaj comes. Prabhupada says, after all, he's carrying the order of the Goswamis to make sure that this movement goes on. Prabhupada asks Giriraj Maharaj, a trusted and loved disciple, He said, do you think this movement will go on after I'm gone? And Giriraj Maharaj gave the answer that most of us would give. Well, Prabhupada, as long as we follow your teachings, as long as we practice strict sadhana, follow the regular principles and work cooperative, yes, it should go on. Prabhupada sat back, nodded, and said, yes, but there must also be organization and intelligence. Sincerity is there. That's gas in the tank, but you got to know where you're steering and you got to have a good map. Otherwise, you're going to go in circles or right off the bridge. So, this is the system Prabhupada set up. That we have another GBC paper, which you can, I can send you a copy or you can get from Dandavats. It's called, what is the name of the thing? I'm embarrassed, I can't read, but it'll come to me in a moment. But it lays out this whole, it gives the whole history of the evolution of the GBC, what it's supposed to do. It's actually quite a fun read, and you should read it. I think it's called Carrying Out Prabhupada's Orders. But it's about the GBC is the ultimate managing authority, which is Prabhupada's clear statement. So it's fun to read. That's something else you can check out. So two prominent lines of authority, just like a train runs on how many tracks? I guess a monorail, you could say one. But generally speaking, they run on two tracks. And if they're, you know, cooperating, the train runs very nicely. So one of the tracks, the guru is authorized by the GBC to give shelter to devotees. The management is also authorized by the GBC to give shelter to devotees. I asked Prabhupada one time, it's a long story, the short version, one of the sutras out of that, some instruction I got from Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said the temple president, managers in ISKCON, they should remember, because I was saying, you know, sometimes it's hard to manage temples and devotees. It's like trying to herd cats sometimes. I mean, devotees are very strong-willed people, you know, trying to get everybody to row in the same direction. I said to Prabhupada, you know, sometimes it's very difficult. Prabhupada said, yes. He said, but if you remember, he said, you should remember that you're blessed that you get to serve the Vaishnavas. So if the manager should be thinking like, I'm blessed, I get to serve the Vaishnavas all day long. I was in the shower one day. Devotee got up on a milk crate, knocked on the window of the bathroom. Said, Badri, can I speak to you? I said, Prabhu, I'm in the shower. Devotee said, oh, I don't mind. Yeah. Well, I said, well, I mind. Give me 5 minutes, you know. Five. Can I ask 5 minutes? So, you know, it's not easy. But if you remember, you're blessed. So it's the same goal. The gurus are giving shelter and guides the devotees, and the managers are supposed to do the same thing. So here's a graph of that. You have Srila Prabhupada, the GBC, you have the gurus and the managers, and you have the devotees. So these are our parallel lines, coexisting lines. How do you harmonize them? A guru or manager in ISKCON has real authority only if he follows Srila Prabhupada's instructions to serve ISKCON under the authority of the full GBC. You all know the story, I'm not going to tell it, but again, become a mouse. If one thinks one's independent of one's spiritual master, our preeminent Siksha Guru, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, remind me if there's some time, some other time, to talk about experiences of Prabhupada stressing founder Acharya. Do you have that book? There's a book. It was written by Rabindra Sarup. It's another one of these GBC policy papers. And it talked Prabhupada's founder, Acharya. Huh? Srila Prabhupada's position. Look, if you don't have it, check with your temple president. I have some extras at back in San Diego. I'll mail them to you if you need some. But you should definitely get a copy of this book and read it. Okay. So here's Prabhupada. Preeminent Siksha Guru, founder Acharya, from now going into the unlimited vast future, for now and always. You have his governing body commission. It's the system Prabhupada gave us in his infinite wisdom. Under that, you have the gurus and you have the disciples. So that's the lineup. The guru's not way over here somewhere, an independent line. So the managerial line of authority, you have the governing body commissioners, you have zonal secretaries, regional secretaries, temple presidents, congregational leaders, you know, senior community, you know, traveling preachers, so many things. That's the components of the managerial line. And it runs like this. You have Prabhupada, you have the GBC, you have the local GBC secretary, temple presidents, and devotees. So the disciples need to understand these two roles of the manager. What's the difference in these two lines? The variance is, let's see if this works. That's pretty pathetic. You've got the managerial decisions, the operation side, but he's also meant to give spiritual guidance. Not just my way or the highway. So the point of divergence, gurus may manage devotees, money, even projects, through the disciples' efforts. The guru decides, I want to open a temple in Timbuktu, and calls disciples, his disciples, send money, you know, send devotees, and they decide to open a temple in Timbuktu. He may be inspired like that. It may be a genuine inspiration. But is that the best thing for ISKCON's management? Don't worry, we'll pile on the managers in a minute. This may take place without a clear agreement with the oh, they have to get rid of that F there. Managerial structure where the project or disciples are located. You see what happens if the lines aren't in harmonizing? So GBC, a guru managing resources independent of the GBC. But it's supposed to be Prabhupada, the GBC, the guru, and the disciples. No one's independent. Any individual GBC member. We're not independent. We work under the full GBC body. Nobody's independent. And that's how we should be under Ashraya. So managers, here's the other side of the coin. Managers may sometimes place greater importance on management goals than on sadhana, preaching purely, or development of purity and service of the devotees in their care. They may just see the devotees as work units. I don't know if you can read it, but this says, here's the poor guy slaving away, lunch break. Got a few minutes. I had a temple president when I was a brahmachari. If you didn't come back, and you can figure the inflation rate, with $100 from a day of sankirtan, you couldn't get back in the van. You couldn't get back in the van unless you had $100. It'd be 9 o'clock at night. I say, I'm tired, I'm hungry, can you just put in $5? I want to go home, they won't let me in the van. Some lady, all right, fine, fine, hey, take it, go home, son. So, I mean, that's an extreme example. But or this, it says, that dorm should house a couple dozen very comfortably. But, you know, we're supposed to take care of the devotees. So the both sides are there. And sometimes, what does the guru do? He sees the devotees aren't being taken proper care of. His disciples, you know, that they're being treated like work units. The manager is not looking and seeing, are they chanting their rounds nicely? Do they have facility for reading? Are there training courses? Devotees are smart. They like to learn. What kind of atmosphere have we created here, you know? At the same time, the gurus need to respect the managerial line of authority. A spiritual master should always try to work with and support the local managers. If, after consultation, there's still a problem, he can appeal to higher levels in the chain of management. It's not that the guru walks in, doesn't like the way things are going. He may be right, but doesn't like the way things are going and just says, oh, the temple president's in Maya and it's got to be like this. First you try, or the GBC's in Maya or this and whatever. First you try to talk, you work it out. Explain your reasoning. Hopefully, you know, by reason and logic, you can convince the person. If there still is a problem and the person, the manager doesn't listen, you don't immediately blow out the faith of the disciples and cause chaos. You go to the GBC if it's a temple president. If you're not happy with the local GBC, let's take an example here. You go to the North American GBC. We have a body, you know, we talk on the phone once a week. If you're not happy with that, you can go to the international GBC. If you're not happy with that, we have a ministry, a justice ministry run by Sesha Prabhu. If you're not happy with that, you can go to ISKCON Resolve. There's all kinds of ways to mediate or resolve a situation. You just have to follow it properly. So it's not that anybody's under the thumb, but we have to respect each other and work cooperatively. And there's a way of doing it. How to exert authority? Authority is ultimately based on faith. This movement is based on the... I remember my father, who was a good man. I can never repay my father. He's passed away, but he was a good man. He was a businessman. And that's not what made him good, but he was a businessman. And he was trying to understand I was overseeing the temple in Detroit. So he was trying to understand how does it go. He said, wait. He said, you don't have benefit packages. You don't have, you know, promotion. You don't have, you know, all these different, you don't offer, you know. He said, how do you run the place? I said, by intelligence, by inspiration. He said, oh my God, didn't compute. But I did tell him, I said, but we have the ultimate retirement plan. You know, back home, back to Godhead, you know? We do have the best retirement plan. But you have to instill faith. And unless you can cultivate and protect and inspire that faith, you know, you can't just say, you know, do it because I say it. You can't really do that. You have to be able to present by Shastra, by Prabhupada's example. Okay. Because that faith, that taking shelter of we have to protect that. So both lines are essential and need to be protected. Guru should inspire the disciples. Gurus should preach and behave in such a way that they nourish and protect the disciples' faith in pure devotional service in Srila Prabhupada. And what's the last line? Someone want to tell me? What is the last line? Jai Rupa Swami. Huh? Yeah, it's part of the package. It's part of the... If you cook, you know, you've got to have your spices, you got to have your veggies, you got to have salt, you got to have the whole... Then you get a nice result. Guru should inspire the managers. Managers are also people. We're not just work units. They're also people. So they have an internal life, shock of shocks. Spiritual masters should act in such a way that the managers are spiritually inspired by their adherence to the GBC and the Sampradaya. They're not inspired because they can give some dakshin to the guru. You know, what is their adherence to the GBC and the Sampradaya? They also have to, the managers have to also be spiritual leaders. So managers should, now we were talking about what the gurus need to do. Now we're just, you know, remember those two lines, we're harmonizing them. This is what the managers need to do. Managers should preach, and behave in such a way that they sustain the trust of the gurus and their disciples. Again, that essential element. It all rests on faith. Not blind faith, intelligent faith. But they have to be able to inspire faith. Disciple may think, aren't gurus all beyond authority except for Krishna? My guru Dave, everybody else is chopped cabbage. Within ISKCON, spiritual masters are not independent. Nobody's independent. GBC aren't independent. His divine grace instructed that the GBC is the ultimate managing authority for ISKCON. In Prabhupada's will, I've been a GBC member for a little over 25 years. I don't plan on doing this for the rest of my life. I have a plan. I'm not just saying this to assure my, you know, position for the few remaining years. That's got nothing to do with it. But in a will, Prabhupada has his last will and testament. Because there was fighting over the properties with the Gaudiya Math, so many different things. Prabhupada wanted to make it very clear. His family members, some of his, you know, envious family members wanted to claim that, you know, Prabhupada built up this institution. There's all kinds of things out there. You know, Gaudiya Math, it's all kinds of people wanted to make claims on what Prabhupada had started. In the first line of Prabhupada's will, the first line of a will by British law, and India is also British law similar, in Indian law, the first line is where you put who will be the manager of the estate. Who's in charge? That's the first thing you put. And Prabhupada's first line says the International Society Governing Body Commission will be the ultimate managing authority for all affairs in ISKCON. I mean, what's... Diagram the sentence. All affairs, ultimate. I mean, there it is. So, he instructed. At the same time, Prabhupada wanted a multi-guru society. He wanted this movement to spread all over the world. And you need kind, saintly people who were willing to take. I raised two children. They're all grown up. They're occupied. They're married. You know, educated. Fine. I can take sannyas. I'm done. I'm a free man. You take on disciples. They're with you for life. Raising kids is far more easy than disciples. I can tell you so many fun stories, you know. So those who are willing to take on this noble service, Prabhupada wanted it, and it has to spread all over the world. So they're not independent, but certainly they're essential. Spiritual masters are obligated to follow society's policies, codes of conduct, including those outlined in this GBC paper. Disciples should understand that a disciple may have the mistaken idea that his or her spiritual master is above all the GBC and the laws and policies. That misunderstanding should be corrected by the spiritual masters and other authorities. It's our job to make sure the devotees have a clear understanding. Disciples should follow their authorities in the same way that all initiating, instructing spiritual masters also follow their own authorities. As I was saying, everybody's following somebody. Nobody's independent. As your guru faithfully follows his authorities, you should follow your authorities. So we're two-thirds through. We're going to be done in a little bit. So here's the principles to be followed. I picked this picture because this is a picture drawn at the time of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. And they're all assembled there in Vrindavan. This is our sweet Sangha, you know, how to associate, to simply hear and chant. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, to associate and glorify Krishna. That's what this society is meant for and is actually doing. So how do we maintain this sweet Vaishnava Sangha? So here's a summary of the principles that follows. Guru's disciple should understand spiritual master draws his authority from his fidelity. That means his loyalty, his obedience. To Srila Prabhupada. This includes fidelity to Prabhupada's order to work within his mission, ISKCON. He wanted us to work within ISKCON. Doesn't mean we work to improve it. You have a right to express something if you think it's wrong. All of that is there. But ultimately, we want to work within ISKCON. Spiritual master is a member of ISKCON and as such is accountable to the collective will of its leadership, the GBC body. Prabhupada, GBC, and gurus. Guru's instinctive role is not managerial. The guru is not, well, it may say here, the spiritual master does not derive any specific right or prerogative over ISKCON resources simply by being by dint of his being a spiritual master. It's not that by being a spiritual master in ISKCON, automatically I have some right to order how the temples are used. Again, the guru who wants to open a temple in Timbuktu, it may be, you know, maybe we need a temple in Timbuktu, every town and village. Fine, but is it what we need to do right now? But just because I'm an initiating guru, I can't cannot independently, individually decide, we're opening a temple in Timbuktu, and let's say you're already my disciple, you know, and you're going to come with me. And the temple priest says, whoa, wait a minute, you're the head pujari, and you're the treasurer, and you're our top Sankirtan devotee. Gurudev said, Timbuktu Kijai. No, it doesn't work like that. Okay, disciples should follow their ISKCON authorities in the same way that all initiating. So now that you follow, as your guru follows, you follow. Okay, here's the managerial decision, disciple. Spiritually mature managers may even be the main siksha gurus for devotees who are not their initiated disciples. Many of us, I became a devotee. I was reading Prabhupada's book, but what actually wrote me in was the temple president, Durlabh Prabhu, who was such a nice, saintly person. He convinced me and he trained me. I can never repay that man. So many of us, you may or you may not, but many of us, because we vote with our feet. Unless you're inspired by the temple president, unless you're inspired by the GBC, unless you're going to do something else. So they have an obligation. Spiritually mature managers, they have an obligation to also be siksha guru. They're not just, hey, I'm the temple president, I told you to do it, do it. No. So two roles of a manager. Manager, he makes managerial decisions and the disciples follow. But he also has to provide bona fide, potent spiritual guidance. You're lucky, you have a very nice temple president. And I'm not just saying that so I get my meals. You're lucky here. You have a very good temple president. Conduct of gurus. Guru should cooperate with a local plan for preaching when he visits a particular area under the temple and zone. He should find out, what is the focus of this temple? Okay, this temple is concentrating, you know, on making devotees. So let me preach and inspire them today. If you make devotees, then they can distribute books. Okay, this temple has nice book distribution. They've got a nice congregation. They're taking care of their congregation. Now they want to start a farm. Let me give a couple classes about the Prabhupada's instructions on, you know, farms and all that. So they should be in tune. What is the goal of the local temple and how to get there? Again, if there's some disagreement, he talks with the temple president. If he thinks it's a serious disagreement, there's an avenue of redress. It's like parents. My parents, very good parents, they would argue sometime. And I remember my mother's mantra, not in front of the children. And they would stop and they would go into their bedroom or they would go in the dining room or they'd send us, you know, go play baseball. And they would sort it up. They wouldn't argue in front of us. Similarly, senior authorities, they shouldn't argue in front of the disciples. And it's just being civilized. If there's a disagreement in terms of managerial decision, the guru should cooperate with the relevant local authority. It means, okay, just like in a law, the law is in place until it's superseded. While you're in the appeal process, the law is in place. If the law is overturned, then the law changes. But in the meantime, you leave it in place. If no agreement can be reached, as I said before, he can defer to the decision of relevant authority with option of appealing to higher authorities. No one's repressed. A manager should be receptive. Hear from the other side of the managers. He should be receptive to the advice given by initiating spiritual masters visiting his area of jurisdiction, especially on matters concerning the guru's disciples and devotees' care. So the guru should, here's a senior saintly person. They're visiting our temple. We should ask. The temple manager should ask, what do you think, Maharaj? What could we improve? Any advice for me? They should hear. And especially, they should ask, are your disciples, are they okay? Anything this disciple, they may have talked to you in private that they're really, you know, they just can't wash pots for the rest of their life. They want to distribute books. Okay, let me arrange that. So there should be this concord or this, you know, harmonic convergence. The guru should also protect the disciples' faith in pure devotional service and serving guru. He does have a job. The guru does have a job to make sure that his disciples are advancing in spiritual life. And if they're not getting that from the local temple president, legitimately not getting it, he has a duty to say something via the guidelines that we've given. He should encourage and support a system of devotee care. He should inform visiting spiritual masters. Oh, this is the manager. So manager should encourage and support a system of devotee care. In Denver, they've actually... I want to save time. I'll tell you later on about Denver. You can ask me. They're setting up a very nice system for elderly devotees, how to take care of them. He should inform visiting spiritual masters about the well-being of the disciples and encourage the guru to help the disciples in need. Jai Shri. Jay, you're also lucky. I don't want to offend anybody. Because everyone, as you serve, the deities reveal themselves. But I'm telling you, Kishore Kishori Ki Jai. You're very fortunate in so many ways. So he should ensure, this is the manager, should ensure there's an equitable system for initiating recommendations without pressure for managerial gains. There have been temples, they want to get everybody initiated by one guru, because they can work with that guru and that guru shares their vision. So, no, you can't get initiated by Swami X. No. Everybody here got initiated. No, there should be the unfettered freedom of the soul. Any ISKCON guru, in good standing, take initiation. They should have that freedom. Okay, conclusion. Connect the dots. Srila Prabhupada is the center of unity. Of paramount importance is our founder, Acharya Srila Prabhupada, who is the initiating spiritual master of many devotees in ISKCON and the foremost instructing spiritual master of every devotee now and in the future. It all rests on our founder, Acharya Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada created for ISKCON a managerial structure with clear lines of authority. Every member of ISKCON should respect this structure and learn to work within it. Management's role is also spiritual, not just he's a mundane, paper shuffle. The goal of the managerial structure is to facilitate the spiritual advancement of the members through the association with devotees, opportunities for service, and effective preaching strategies. That's the sutra for the manager. Guru's role is also spiritual. The many initiating and instructing spiritual masters in ISKCON should give spiritual inspiration to their disciples and devotees through their preaching and through their conduct. Like Haridas Thakur, spoke nicely and acted nicely. Gurus and disciples should cooperate with managers. That we've gone over. Anyway, we will say it again. All spiritual masters and disciples should appreciate the importance of the many managers of our society who help guide, train disciples, and oversee the facilities of ISKCON, providing for their spiritual advancement. If we don't have managers to maintain the place, you're going to walk into the building, the roof's falling down, the rent hasn't been paid, there's no boga, there's no one cooking for the deities, no Sunday feast. We need it for our sustenance, our spiritual life. This is the last slide. Actually, one more. This cooperative, mutually respectful spirit is the best way to preserve the society's unity. Remember, we don't want to split up into pieces like the Gaudiya Math. Please, Srila Prabhupada, and expand the Sankirtan mission. There is one thing. One of the symptoms of a Vaishnav is tolerance. It's one of the corner, more tolerant than the tree, right? It's one of the first things Chaitanya Chinadapi Suni Chinna. What is the one thing that a devotee cannot tolerate? Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam Purport, yes. Vaishnava Aparada, okay, that's fine. But I was looking for something specific. Sound. They cannot stand the sound, Prabhupada's purport, of the conditioned soul being crushed by the material nature. Prabhupada says, I'll say it again, the devotees are tolerant, but they cannot tolerate the sound of the conditioned souls being crushed by the material nature. Prabhupada says, if a gentleman sees a blind man going in the wrong direction, do you have to be introduced? Well, I don't know his name, and I don't know. No, it's a human instinct. No, go this way. So that if we want to maintain ISKCON, which is the last best hope in this world, It is the beacon. What is it? Give me your tired masses yearning to breathe free. You know, Statue of Liberty, you know? But this is the beacon of liberty and freedom here in this society. So we have to work together for the sake of the conditioned souls. So that's the end. I picked this picture because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, Panchatattva. But if you can see, it goes back for so far, Nag Sankirtan. So we're all working. Sankirtan means together. So here we go. That's the name of the paper. This is where you can get it. And if somehow or other that doesn't work, you can get it from me. We're done. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for sitting so patiently. And hey, not bad. We're right on time. Does anyone have any questions? Don't be shy. I don't bite. Yeah, we can get the lights now. Thank you, Prabhu.
My question is about, my first question is about how do we define spiritual? Because all the things you were mentioning about how we are to manage ISKCON and protect make perfect sense.
Well, I'm thinking of the ninefold processes of devotional service. I'm thinking of Sarvapati Vinir Muktam, you know, Rishikesha Rishikena. I'm thinking, what is it? No. Atasi Krishna Namadi, Nabhavagram India. And then what is the next line? Seva Mukhi Jiva Dao. So, engagement in devotional service, the ninefold process of devotional service, as given to us by the Goswamis, we could decide that is spiritual. First question I asked Prabhupada, what is material, what is spiritual? I had my idea that the world is profane, like the Gnostics, you know, you have to go off to a cave in the Himalayas or live on some island in the middle of the Mediterranean, or, you know, whatever it may be, you know, a hair, what do they call it, camel clothing, you know, what's it called, sackcloth or whatever it is, you know, because this world is profane. So I was thinking like that, and you have to get away from it because it's corruptive. And what to do? What am I going to do? You know, where am I going to go? I can't live on one chickpea in the Himalayan caves. How long will that last? So I asked Prabhupada, what is material, what is spiritual? Prabhupada had a knife, and he was cutting some fruit. And Prabhupada said, is this knife material or is it spiritual? I was shy in those days. My mind went completely blank. I didn't know what to say. Prabhupada said, a knife in the hand of a physician can save your life, isn't it? By surgery, he can save your life. A knife in the hand of a robber can take your life. So the object in and of itself is not intrinsically good, intrinsically bad. It's not intrinsically material, intrinsically spiritual. It depends on the consciousness and purpose for which it's used. Does not a thing therapeutically treated not become the cure of the self-same disease? Narada Muni says. One gets sick from eating too many milk products, and it's cured by taking yogurt. Curd can cure it. So that which made you sick, transformed, can make you healthy. Or you use a thorn to pick out a thorn. So when the art of using things in the service of Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna and for the deliverance of the conditioned soul, I would call that spiritual. We could give a whole class on what's spiritual.
Thanks.
Someone have another question? We'll go around. Yes, Prabhu.
Thanks a lot for the great class. First, Prabhupada.
Thank you for taking a good lesson from a fool.
Prabhupada has told us that we should take a subject and discuss it until bare bone.
Okay.
But people like me, and I speak for a lot of people who go for something called job, and we have to work for 10-12 hours and then drive, and by end of the day we just don't have.
I've got it. What's the question?
Association, and this has been bothering me for several years, that I hanker on some questions and I hanker and hanker, and sometimes I cry to have an opportunity to talk about subjects for hours and hours, but I don't have anyone to talk to. And how this is one,
you know,
thing
just,
I so
just,
I believe
I hate to cut you
like
off
so
when you want to ask something.
I don't
know
what to do.
Just for the sake of this, I'm going to give my best shot at an answer. But for everyone else, if possible, it would be very good to ask questions about the presentation. It's not a stump the Swami question, you know, a session. Let's try to ask about the session, you know. We have so many chat groups. You ask me later on, I can give you some You know, there's chat groups that you can participate to ask questions. You can read Prabhupada's books. I was in Prabhupada's room one time, and for about 45 minutes, it was mystical. It was blissful. Prabhupada said, like a lawyer should know, you know, he should be able to quote. That's what the judge wants to see. You know, this case, there was this precedent set, and this case, you know, that's what he wants to hear. And based on those references and the knowledge of the law, of course, common sense, we hope as well, the judge makes a decision. 45 minutes. People ask questions, and Prabhupada would say, first canto, chapter 4, text 35, read the purport. It was the answer. Somebody asked another question. Prabhupada said, Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, verse, read the purport. There was the answer. Went on for 45 minutes. I was amazed at how well Prabhupada knew his books. I was also amazed that all the answers are there. So my humble suggestion would be, obviously we want to ask devotees questions, but, you know, people are, you know, everybody's busy. In Kali Yuga, nobody has time. It's the nature of the place. But you can always open up Prabhupada's books and read them. And if you don't understand something, you can read it again. And if you don't understand it, you can read it again. That's Prabhupada's answer. Because what is it? Matasmiti Jnana Manon Aponam Cha. You know, Jnana Dipena Bhashvata. There's so many verses, cornerstone verses in Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna within the heart will give knowledge. Is that okay? That's my best shot. Okay, any other questions on this presentation? Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for your time. My question, I don't know for sure if it's exactly in line with the class. I'll do my best.
Did I scare you off already?
No.
There's still time.
I think you're very
nice. No, go ahead.
Nice.
What's the question?
The question is, if you're doing a service, that's, like I do music, contemporary music, and I attract people and distribute books. If I ask for a donation, can ISKCON give me a tax write-off for that? Like if someone wants to donate to...
And that relates to this exactly how?
Well, happiness for devotees, because a lot
good
of times...
Good recovery, for good recovery. So what was the question?
The question
you
is
write
this...
music, we can give you a tax write-off?
Exactly. I do music, and if someone gives me a donation, can I give them a tax receipt as a member of ISKCON?
Well, you know, for it to be legal, you have to be the money has to go into the hands of, welcome to the management world, a 501c3, IRS-recognized corporation. You have to be incorporated. You have to be recognized by the IRS and probably in the state of Illinois, and you have to be a bona fide corporation. They have to recognize you. And you have to file papers. It's different in different states. You could give it to the temple, and they can give the person an IRS, you know, a letter. But you can't just put it in your pocket. It has to go for a recognized nonprofit. And Prabhupada said that we should follow the law. And he said it jokingly. Devotees said, we should follow the law. Prabhupada was very grateful for all that America gave to him, starting ISKCON. They never stopped him. Rather, when he went to court, the judge said, you know, these are good books. You know, this is a good thing. You know, that famous court in Massachusetts. So Prabhupada was appreciative of America and the core values of America in God. I mean, now it's all become mongrelized, but, you know, just everybody's for themselves. But Prabhupada did appreciate America. We should follow the laws. We should be gentlemen. And on the other side of the coin, Prabhupada said one time, when you're living in the water, don't pick a fight with the crocodile. Follow the laws. Okay, another question? We could be done but let's try to focus on the presentation. Devotees are creative. I appreciate creative intelligence. Yes, Prabhu.
Maharaj, thank you very much for your presentation. I appreciate your very sincere and I think also probably a very good effort to try and somehow harmonize this very difficult and challenging topic. My question is this. We're looking at different lines of authority, and you mentioned this important point about how we have to cultivate the faith of the individual.
Yes.
And my question is, who should, say, a disciple, who should the disciple think is his primary, say, link or source of support in Krishna consciousness? Because...
I got it.
You got the question.
I got it. I think I got it. Because of the time factor. You know, Krishna consciousness is not black or white. And we have the example of father. We have grandfather, we have uncles, we have god brothers, we have god sisters, So the family analogy runs throughout our society. I tell you frankly, sometimes the uncle may be more prominent. Sometimes the grandfather may be more prominent. Sometimes the brother may be more prominent in different individuals. That family dynamic is different in so many different ways. It may be at different times in our life. Ask the question, who delivers the disciple? It is not just the Diksha Guru. It's the holy name. It's Krishna himself. There's a whole string of elements that deliver the disciple. And if I want to make a very strong rope, is it just one strand or what is it? Who can say in the back row there? If I want to make a very strong rope, what do I do? Mataji, you have a number of strands. Make a rope very strong. If we're serious about getting out of this, it's not A or B, but both. We are not here to push anybody down, but lift everybody up. So it's not just my Diksha Guru, it's not just my Siksha Guru, it's not just my temple president. Niranjan Maharaj, you know Niranjan Maharaj? Such a saintly, intelligent, he's really a blissful devotee. We're in Mayapur. He said, Badri, come over here. He said, read this letter. And it said, Dear Guru Dev, you're the torch of knowledge, you're the lotus of my life, you know, all the perfunctory praise. He got all that out of the way. Then they said, I know you told me to do this, but I want to do that. I know you said don't do that, but I'm going to do this. Please give me your blessings. So Niranjan, he said, what do I do with this letter? He said, if I tell him to do this, he's going to go right off a cliff. If I don't tell him, he's going to do it anyway. It's Guru Aparad. How do I answer this thing, you know? So it's a cooperative institution. If we're serious, Prabhupada, the devotee asked Prabhupada, why is Maya so strong? And Prabhupada said, because you are not strong in your purpose. I saw a bumper sticker, maybe it's here, but it was in California. It said, if you're not paranoid, you haven't been paying attention. This world is a very dangerous place. It is a difficult place. And we should be very serious. If we want to become Krishna conscious in this lifetime, we should grab a hold of every opportunity and every means. So it's not that, okay, here's the one person, as I said, here's the one person who's going to save me and everybody else is chopped cabbage. You know, everybody else is, you know, second tier. It doesn't work like that. That's not Vaishnava mentality. It's subtle, it's nuanced, it's supple, it can flow, it's rich, it's profound, it's multifaceted. It is not black or white, you know, take it or you're going to burn forever in hell. We're out of that mentality. Another question. Yes, Baruch. We'll end in just a few minutes. Wait, they're waiting for the microphone. Yes, Baruch.
The schedule is till 8 o'clock. We have time till 8 o'clock.
The only thing is that my managerial line is leaning on me. And I have about 15 voice messages that they all want to know why I haven't answered them. So I have a little pressure. But go away. Let's go. As long as questions are on the topic. But
I think there are questions. It'll
go
be
ahead. Fine. Probably.
So
you're my local line of authority.
I am
I
not.
Have to defer to you and cooperate. Yes, Prabhu, go ahead.
Suggest on Upadhi. Along the line of the answer you gave him, Himanshu, there's not one person, but there are many. At the same time, each morning we come and we sing the Guru Ashtaka and the
yes,
Guru Puja.
Certainly.
And it is very much, at least for most of us, we think of one person per se. It's not Guru like a collective.
There can be a usually Prabhupada says, because ours is a Siksha society. Prabhupada says the Diksha Guru usually becomes the prime Siksha Guru. Siksha is what we're talking about. It's not that I joined a club, I got a button, there was a, you know. Well, I'll say it because I started, otherwise you'll wonder. There was, long time ago, he's not with us anymore, we wish him all good fortune. He used to travel with buttons with his picture on it. And if he found somebody who was a little interested in bhakti, he'd give him a button, he'd give him his mantra, he'd give him, you know. We had a whole group of very neophyte devotees. I've got my guru, I've got, you know. I got initiation. What does the word initiation mean? Does it mean the beginning or the end? It means beginning. So, but people, I got my guru, I got my initiated. Maybe I hang on long enough to get Gayatri mantras so I can go on the altar and worship the deities and get the Mahaprasad, and I'm done. It's much more than that. So, ours is a siksha. Siksha and faith. Faith is essential. It's the bija that it begins. You know, when you go through all the different processes and the steps of bhakti, ultimately coming to prema, what does it begin with? Shraddha. It begins with faith. And that faith is nurtured by instruction. Also examples, so many other things. So generally speaking, the one who sets the best example, who gives us the most siksha, becomes is our resting stone of our spiritual life. Generally speaking, it is the Diksha Guru, but not always. What can I say? That's the truth. Prabhupada said this is one of those sutras that are from Prabhupada that I've always appreciated. It's a very, the more you think about this, the more this is going to bounce around in your brain. Prabhupada said intelligence means the ability to hold opposing points within the mind. I'm going to say it again. Intelligence means the ability, symptom of intelligence is the ability to hold opposing points within the mind. Achinta beta beta tattva, simultaneously one and different. What? I mean, you want to talk about opposing points that actually on a higher level harmonize. That's intelligence, achinta beta beta tattva. So how my Diksha Guru is my life and soul, I'm offering all the prayers to him. At the same time, I'm a member of institution. And that institution is coming from my preeminent Siksha Guru for all of us, Srila Prabhupada. I'm inspired by my temple president. How does it all weave together? That requires intelligence. It's not A or B. It's not black or white. It's not disrespect one and respect the other. There was a devotee in LA. And I won't say names. He was offering a chocolate cake. And he was offering his chocolate cake, slice of chocolate cake. I mean, you're not supposed to eat chocolate. I can give you the Ayurvedic reasons, but you won't burn forever in hell if you eat chocolate. But if you're serious about spiritual life, it's something you should try to give up, Fine. This devotee said, I don't want to put anybody in a mental plane, or more than I already have. So, a devotee was offering a slice of chocolate cake. But he was offering it to someone different from who he was initiated by. So he said, you're initiated by so-and-so. Why aren't you offering him? He said, my guru Dave says don't eat chocolate, but this guru says it doesn't matter, so I'm offering him. I swear to you, it happened. I said, it doesn't work like that, Hang on a minute, Let's get out of this narrow, limited, linear thinking, It's nuance. It has life. Another question? This gentleman in front. And you had a second question, so I just wanted to get the, so let's have him and then you can go. I just want to get the wheels turning.
There's a question online from a gentleman named Mohit. The question is, how does GBC/ISKCON reconcile the potential conflict of interest of the initiating guru also being a member of the GBC?
Well, how do we reconcile the temple president and also being a, Siksha guru and a manager? One hopes. I'll give you an example. Prabhupada wanted to separate the two lines. And when Tamal Krishna Maharaj took sannyas, Prabhupada had him step off the GBC. That's historical record. There's a whole in that paper, which I've forgotten the name of it, the Ultimate Managing Authority paper. But it's called something, I'll come tomorrow with the name. It's another one of these nice papers you get. There's a whole section. It gives the history of this event with what Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna Maharaj and what, Prabhupada took Tamal Krishna Maharaj off the GBC when he took sannyas. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj, one of the heroes of our society, was having a fantastic time. He was a young sannyasi and a powerful preacher. He was traveling all over India, making devotees, making life members. Let that man run free. To manage in India in those days was extremely difficult. Prabhupada said, I heard him say, "Oh, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I'll serve you in heaven. I'll serve you in hell, but not India." We're in the 70s, it was tough. It was, and we didn't know anything, and we didn't know the cults. It was tough, And Prabhupada needed someone to, you know, maintain the preaching, to maintain the life members, to push the thing forward. He told Tomal Krishna Maharaj, he said, you come back and be on the GBC. And after that, he never took a sannyasi off the GBC. And sannyasis are natural gurus of society. So assuming the person can do the job. Now, one thing the GBC is finished, and we're working. We have a service description, what it means to be a GBC member. We have started, what is the name? You know, when you review, there's another word for it. It's just, I'm a little tired, but I can't remember the name. Performance evaluation. Thank you very much. Performance evaluation. Some, we're going in waves. Some of the GBC member volunteered. I was one of them. Fine, you know. So now we have a measure. Then there's performance review. And it includes how well they're doing the practical managerial service and how are they doing spiritually. Are they inspiring the disciples? Do they know the philosophy and presenting it nicely? Are they caring? So there's the, everyone is ultimately under. To answer specifically this question, Prabhupada established himself, tried to separate it, saw that it didn't work. Prabhupada was, you know, experimenting all the time, you know, trying to see what works. You can be a guru and be on the GBC. Yes, there's intrinsically a possibility of a conflict of interest, no doubt about it. But because you're under the entire GBC, because there's performance review, if you're going off the rails, if there's a mistake, it's corrected. We don't live in a perfect world. There's difficulty, and we have to use our intelligence and put systems in place to calibrate and correct for those. Next question. Oh, you were next. I'm sorry.
This is my follow-up question to my first question about...
What is spiritual?
What is spiritual? So often when defining spiritual authority, then the faith of the disciple plays the strongest role in who he accepts as a spiritual authority.
Sure.
And because faith cannot be legislated, I was wondering how do you understand and reconcile... you were giving the manager as he serves as a spiritual guide, or this Srila Prabhupada is told that the GBC is a spiritual guide.
Let me hit it with this. In many cases, but certainly not all cases, the temple president is a spiritual inspiration also. Not A, not B, both. So often, siksha, faith, and actually to be a really good temple president, you have to care about the devotees. You have to be able to give association, and you have to be able to inspire and guide. You have to be able to do that. So it's there. If it's not there, sometimes it may, or they may not be that spiritually strong, but as long as they're competent, I mean, I go to doctors. Prabhupada said, you know, a guru should have, you know, a wife should have one husband, you should have one doctor. I have some health issues. I found a good doctor. Basically, the instruction of my doctor is if it tastes good, don't eat it. It's a pretty simple instruction. You know, following is another thing, you know. But you find a good doctor. He's not a profoundly spiritual element in my life, but in that compartment of my life, I'm following him. Whatever he tells me to do, I do, because I've seen his success rate. If the policeman, suppose a policeman pulls you over, or suppose you're doing, say, he says, you can't do book distribution here. You know, we've got, here's a permit, you can do it over there, but you can't do it here. I say, well, you're not my spiritual authority. Oh yeah? How would you like a night in the Grey Hotel? He'll take you downtown, you know? So we accept authority all the time. So if the person, I'm living in a temple, he's organizing. It's just common sense. He's organizing the temple. No, today we're not going to go on book distribution. Once a month, we clean the whole temple because that will elevate everyone's consciousness. So please, Prabhu, and we want camaraderie. We want that esprit de corps. You're a fantastic book distributor. But take one day off a month and work with the other devotees. You know, it develops a nice relationships. Help us clean the temple. And the person, oh, he's my temple president, he might be right, let me do it. It doesn't mean that, you know, that he's the person I go to for my deep internal issues. But we accept authority all the time.
That's why, that was exactly why I asked my first question about
spiritual. I got your question. I got it. It's not, Therefore, it's called blur. Yeah, that's why it's called harmonizing. It overlaps. It's nuanced. It's not A or B. It's not black or white. We do not live in a linear world. We're people. People in Kali Yuga. And I chalk me right up there at the bottom of the barrel. People in Kali Yuga are extremely emotional. They say, Atato Brahma Jigyasya, Jammadasa Yataha. They got disciples got it. Three or four sutras, Vedanta Sutra, they understand the absolute truth. We're like, huh? We're motivated by emotion so much more than we are by intellect. Therefore, you have to, all of these different inspirations, different motivations, they all overlap, they all intercede, they are mutually supportive. Therefore, what's the title? Harmonizing. It's not black or white. We do not live in a linear world. Next question. It'd be so much easier if we did. Just put me in charge and everybody do what I say. No problem. I mean, obviously it doesn't work. Yes, another suit approval.
I just need a little clarity. Maybe I know in my mind, but so you said Prabhupada, then is the GBC, then zonal secretary. What's the difference between GBC and zonal?
Oh my gosh.
That just wanted to know there, for me.
No, I say oh my gosh because that's a box and it's hard to put everything in that box. There are Vaisheshika Prabhu. You know Vaisheshika Prabhu? One of the most saintly people in this society. Such a wonderful devotee. He is the non-GBC zonal secretary for Northern California, which means he doesn't go to the GBC meetings. Nominally, he's under Hari Vilas Prabhu as the GBC, but actually the North American GBC is asked him to take responsibility for that Northern California area. I also help him out. So there's so many, you didn't find every single name with the right nomenclature, and you know, there's a little bit of, in India, a zonal secretary is, you know, he's under the Indian Bureau. I mean, so, you know, but you got the basic principle. Is that all right? Okay. Any other question? Yes, Prabhu. Wait, I think they need the mic because we're speaking for the home audience.
I have had a conversation with a devotee where there was an argument and the devotee mentioned that everybody is a Vaishnava. You know, who are following Lord Chaitanya's mission, whether it's the Gauriya Vaishnava or ISKCON or something else. So is it all right to read and take, follow instructions given in the books written by people who are outside of ISKCON or devotees who are outside of ISKCON?
And this fits into this presentation? How?
Authority?
I was going to help you out. Well, that's another line, you know. Right. So we are followers of Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, Prabhupada is our preeminent Siksha Guru for all now and for the future. I mean, there's Ramanujacharya. We have the deepest respect for Ramanujacharya. He's coming in the Sri Sampradaya. We're in the Brahma Sampradaya. Prabhupada wanted us. There's a famous morning walk, and somebody asked Prabhupada, the person says to Prabhupada, first, just to get a nuanced picture about Srila Prabhupada. In Detroit, I forget the year, Prabhupada's in the airport waiting for his flight. There must have been at least 250 to 300 devotees seeing Prabhupada off. We'd taken over the entire section of the airport. There was, you know, 15 madungas, 30 pairs of cartels, sprinkling rose water, distributing books, throwing flower petals. I'm not exaggerating. It was fantastic. Now, the thing is, the way that airport was like a hub. Picture a wheel, you know, and the spokes and then the hub. So there's businessmen, they're trying to catch their next, they got a connecting flight, they got 45 minutes, you know, and they're trying to get past the devotees. And you've got some devotees offer dandavats, the full, you know, mangalacharanam prayers, and the, you know, the dude's waiting for him to get up. And so the businessmen were pushing some of the devotees. You got young brahmacharis, you know, they're ready, they're pushing back. The thing was just about to explode like a tinderbox. Somebody was going to haul off and whack somebody, and the whole thing was going to explode, you know? Rupanuga Prabhu was chairman of the GBC. He stood up on his seat and he said, all ISKCON devotees, all ISKCON devotees, please clear the terminal. Not one single devotee moved. Except for Srila Prabhupada. He picked up his little carrying case, and got ready and said, no, not you, Prabhupada. You stay, they go, you know. But he was thinking, I'm a member of ISKCON. My spiritual master is, you know, I mean, one of my leaders is making. And, you know, Prabhupada, there's no false ego, no. Because I want to say about pride. And I forgot how I was going to answer your question. Oh, I know what I was going to say. So, another time in Detroit, Prabhupada came to his, you know, the Devasadan Mandir, the temple now. Prabhupada came in his darshan room, and there was no picture of his Guru Maharaj, of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Prabhupada noticed there was a big picture of Lord Nisringadev behind him. So Prabhupada, and he'd noticed there was a beautiful painting of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Prabhupada didn't miss a trick. I could tell you so many stories. Prabhupada was, you know, fully conscious. Prabhupada didn't miss a thing. So many. Remind me later and tell a story when we're done about cleaning and Govardhan in Detroit, about Prabhupada. But anyway, Prabhupada told Govardhan, the temple president, he said, you take that picture of Lord Nisringadev, you put it in the temple room, and you bring the picture of Bhaktisiddhanta, and you put it in my darshan room. That way there's a nice big picture of my Guru Maharaj in my darshan. I'm his humble servant, put the picture there. Okay, fine. We thought Prabhupada was out in the garden, beautiful garden, Devasadan Mandir, beautiful gardens in the spring. They thought Prabhupada was sitting in the garden. So I just happened to be walking down the hall by Krishna's grace. Govardhan said, hey, can you help me? And we got another brahmachari, Jamuna Tatachara, and the three of us got this, because it was a big painting with a big gold frame. It was heavy. So we got it, we brought it up, we came into Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada was sitting behind his desk. So, oh, what is this? And Govardhan said, no, Prabhupada, we're going to switch the painting. We'll come later. We don't want to disturb you. Prabhupada said, no, go ahead. And Prabhupada was writing. So we were trying to get this, you know, paintings hanging on a nail, you know? And to get it away from the wall, it was a big, heavy painting. We're really, I didn't say a word, but Govardhan said, you know, Prabhupada, we're afraid that we're going to bump into you. Do you want to get up for just a minute? And Prabhupada was right. Prabhupada said, no, go ahead. So the third time, and we can't get it off the nail, and we're thinking, no, this is, you know, we're going to bump into, you know. So Govardhan said, Srila Prabhupada, you sure you don't want to get up? Prabhupada said, what? He said, for service, you can stand on my head. There was no artifice. There was no pretend. He wasn't saying it for the audience. It was only the three. It was just that's the nature of Srila Prabhupada. He was, I can give you so many examples. Rabindra Sarup brought a professor. He happened to be Indian, but he also happened to be a Christian. And, you know, there was the initial niceness, but he immediately went after Prabhupada. He said, your Krishna is immoral. He said, he is dancing with other men's wives. Prabhupada didn't back up an inch. Prabhupada said, no, actually, sir, you are immoral. You're married? What are you doing with one of Krishna's gopis? The guy didn't know what to say. He said, actually, Krishna's Purusha. Everyone else is Prakriti. Everyone is meant to be engaged in the service of Krishna. What are you doing? You think this is your wife? You think this? You think you're Purusha? Probably just let the guy have it. Straighten him out, you know? The guy got really, because he thought, well, I've got, you know, I think I've got it, you know? Like they asked Prabhupada, when Prabhupada came to England, they asked him, why is the death, you know, what can you possibly teach us? Prabhupada said, I've come to teach what you've forgotten. That's pretty far out. Oh, what is that we've forgotten? How to love God. So they go, well, that's not right. The guy tried to, his BBC interview, he said, well, what can you bring to us from India? The death rate's so high in India, you know, 70s. Death rate is so high in India. Prabhupada said, death rate's the same everywhere, 100%. What do you say to it? I mean, it's a perfect answer. Oh, okay. I guess I'm not, you know. So because Prabhupada gave the man a solid philosophical answer that pulled the rug right out from his misconceptions, the man became furious. And he actually began shouting at Prabhupada. He completely lost it. After what, you know, Big Brahmananda? Remind me to another story about Brahmananda. Big Brahmananda said, I think you better leave now. Took the guy out. Rabindra was so embarrassed. You know, Prabhupada, I brought this guest. I didn't know that what he was going to think like this. And somebody said, well, what's going to happen to him? And the devotees all started, well, you know, he's committed, you know, maha aparat. He'll be born, you know, with no eyes, no legs, rolling in the gutter in Calcutta, you know, playing a harmonica. Who knows what's going to happen to this guy, you know? So everybody went around, oh, we'll have to drink boiling ghee or what. I forget. Everybody was giving their answer. All the devotees gave some, you know, horrific, what's going to happen to this guy. It came to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, well, we could forgive him. Nobody thought of that. Prabhupada's heart, we could forgive him. Where's the apparatus? The Vaishnavas forget, you know. So Prabhupada's heart, okay? Simultaneously, Prabhupada's on a morning walk. Someone said, oh, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is my favorite author. Prabhupada said, second favorite. What does that mean? You read the books of our founder Acharya. I know people who've gotten initiated have not finished the Bhagavad Gita. What? What if Krishna says it's all one? Find your home and home, you know? Shouldn't you read through the 18th chapter? So, fine. If you've read Bhagavad Gita 4 or 5 times, if you've read the entire Srimad Bhagavatam a couple times, if you've read Chaitanya Charitamrita a couple times, if you've read Nectar of Devotion, Nectar of Instruction, if you've read Prabhupada's books a couple times, all of them carefully, fine, you want to read a book by some, you know? We've got, they've been in the movement 1.5 years and they're talking about, you know, Rupa Goswami, Ujjala Nilamani. It's way over your pay grade. Way over your pay grade. If you eat rich food and you can't digest it, you've just become sick. Everybody thinks, oh, well, I'm this, but I'm special. Prabhupada, Rabindra Sarup said one time, Prabhupada was in Times Square. Prabhupada knew the Kali Yuga mentality. He knew us. He lived with us. Mukunda Maharaj, another one of the great saints of our society, Mukunda Maharaj told me that Prabhupada would stand in line to use the bathroom. And Mukunda Maharaj, and every time he tells a story, you can just see it, he just pounds his head. He cut in front of Prabhupada. Prabhupada's in line to use the bathroom. He said, I'll be just a minute, Swami. Cut in. You know? He said, what was I thinking, you know? So that personality knew us. Prabhupada was in Butler, Pennsylvania. Prabhupada didn't waste a minute. Why was he in Butler? He was getting his health, because he had those heart attacks on the foot. He was getting his strength back, but he was studying carefully the American mentality. What motive? He noticed so many churches, they have a natural faith, but the doors are closed because no one's giving them the right answers. But they are generally a faithful person, as far as the, whatever, the national ethos or whatever it is, you know? He was studying, he was getting his health, he was studying, he was formulating a plan, and then he went to New York. So Prabhupada wrote these books for us. Prabhupada was at Henry Street, the old temple in Brooklyn, and there was a little small garden, not very big, I mean, whatever, maybe probably 10 by 30, that was in the back. And it was a half basement, so the window was up about, of the first floor was up about 5-6 feet, okay? So that Prabhupada would be undisturbed, there was a 24-hour shift, different brahmacharis, volunteers to guard that backyard, make sure that, you know, kids weren't playing there, you know, so Prabhupada could peacefully, you know. By Krishna's grace, I had the 1 o'clock till 3 o'clock shift at night. And you know, if it's dark outside and it's light inside, you can see very easily into the room, you know? About 2 o'clock, 1:30, 2 o'clock, Prabhupada comes in and sits down behind his desk, turns on his lamp. On his desk is the translation work that Pradyumna had done the night before. So he looked at that, sat back, chanted some japa, took out his Bhagavatam with 5 different commentaries, Sridhar Swami, 5 different commentaries, different, you know, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami, I forget. Maybe Book to Siddhanta Saraswati. I forget. Anyway, but 5, and he would read those. Then he would say a few words, and he would lean back and chant. He would pull out Bhagavad Gita. He'd pull out his sand. You know, and I was watching different commentaries by different acharyas, and I was thinking, like, all the water flows into the Ganga, and the Ganga flows into the ocean. All the different Puranas, all the different Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra. All the words of our great Vaishnava Acharyas, they're all flowing into Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada's putting it on the pages of Bhagavatam, which is the truth. I was thinking, I have everything here, and presented just properly for the Western mind, you know, for the modern mind, perfectly. So, frankly, just to finish the story, so I was chanting japa softly, and in my own neophyte foolish way, I started chanting, and evidently I was chanting pretty loudly. You know, I was thinking, Prabhupada's giving us the nectar of the sages, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Prabhupada took the glass of water off his desk, threw it out the window all over me. I'll be shaking, you know. But it was just like you throw a boot at a cat, you know. Come on, I'm working here, you know. Come on. I'm trying to think. It was very blissful. It was really blissful. So I am never going to... The commentaries of these great acharyas, what can I say? But first, get a profound understanding of Prabhupada's books. And I can tell you, I first read Bhagavad Gita in 1969. This is, 2014? You do the math. Every time I open Bhagavad Gita, which Prabhupada said that he's just beginning. Bhagavad Gita is the beginning, then you have, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam, then you have Chaitanya Charitamrita, like that, Prabhupada, progression. And Nectar Devotion fits in there, I don't know exactly where. But the point is, every time I open Bhagavad Gita, I find something new. I find something profound. Everything's there. And read Chaitanya, far beyond our pay grab. But if you think you're, you know, I'm on Madhurya Ras and I want to hear Vrindavan pastimes, read the Anti Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are pastimes that are... Read the last few chapters of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. You want to get your mind blown. So it's all that Prabhupada gave us, everything. It's all in there. So I personally don't really see the need to go outside of Prabhupada's books. But if you, for some reason, you want to read this, I mean, Bhanu Maharaj has translated so many books. I would never read a book who wasn't... Prabhupada, you know the Brahma Samhita? Prabhupada, and I read Brahma Samhita. Brahma Samhita is, you know, profound. And Prabhupada warned us, there's many letters, read Brahma Samhita. Prabhupada said, don't read a Brahma Samhita that was produced after 1936. You know why? Because after 1936, they edited the whole thing. They changed. Somebody thought, oh, I'm a better scholar than Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Prabhupada said, don't, because 1936, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur left this world. So up until that time, you can be confident that that version of Brahma Samhita is okay. Don't read a version after that. So if I were going to read the commentary of one of these great acharyas, I would only read if it was by an ISKCON devotee. Personally, I'm not telling you to do that, but because I want to hear it from someone who's realized Prabhupada's teachings. Like Bhanu Maharaj, you can read Bhanu Maharaj's books. But even then, get that foundation in Prabhupada's books first. And I think, sincerely, you don't need to go outside. But that's a personal statement. One more question. Was that a yes, you have a question, or just Hare Krishna? You're waiting for prasadam. That's why you were enthusiastic. Is there prasadam after this? Yeah, okay, well, there it is. I'm up against a greater force than certainly myself. So one last question. If not, we can end. Didn't that shut it down? As soon as the devotees knew there was prasadam. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.